This is Morning Edition. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. In the first 9 weeks of this year, 55 Rhode Islanders have died from apparent drug overdoses. Overdose has been the number one cause of accidental death in Rhode Island since 2008, but the problem has been drawing more attention in recent days because of the surprising number of deaths this year alone. Rhode Island Public Radio healthcare reporter Kristen Gourlay has been at work on a documentary about drug overdose and addiction since well before the flood of recent headlines, and she joins us in the studio. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Let's start with these grim statistics. The death toll for 2014 has already reached 55 people. What's happening?
It is grim. So a few things are happening. Number one, these all appear to be accidents, meaning the person who died either took too much of a drug, took a dangerous combination of drugs, or just happened to take a drug he or she wasn't expecting. The state's medical examiner is still analyzing the data from, you know, toxicology reports, examinations, and so forth. But of the 51 she's screened so far this year, 34 people tested positive for a drug called fentanyl. That's a really powerful prescription painkiller, 50 times or more as powerful as heroin. And dealers have been adding it to heroin, some say to boost the high. But the thing is, even if a user knows it's in there, even if they're a habitual user, that fentanyl is killing them. And it probably is killing them really quickly. 27 of the dead so far this year were found near some kind of drug paraphernalia, whether it was a needle still in the arm or a bag of heroin nearby, for example.
And what do we know about the people who have died? Where are they from? What are their ages?
So here's what we know so far this year. The dead ranged in age from 20 all the way up to 62. 40 were men, 15 were women. Most were white, but 5 were black, and they came from all over, 17 different towns and cities in Rhode Island. And while the majority had only illicit drugs like heroin in their systems, several actually had a combination of pharmaceuticals like OxyContin, for example, in their systems as well.
But I bet that's really only part of the story, right? I mean, Kristen, you've been working on a documentary about deadly overdoses, and we're also having a forum on that subject at the Providence Athenaeum on March 11th. What was it about this story that grabbed your attention?
Well, when I first came to Rhode Island, I learned pretty quickly that drug overdoses were the state's number one killer, number one accidental killer, we should be clear about. And as a healthcare reporter, I figure I'd better be reporting on that. It's really grim stuff to cover, but it's also a fascinating story because you're right, it's about more than just overdose deaths. You know, that's the tragic end of someone's story. But before that, there's probably a history of addiction, which is better understood by scientists and doctors, but there's still so much about it we don't understand. And this story is also at the nexus of so many other issues I find: law enforcement, the pharmaceutical business, politics. I focus on a few of those in my documentary. For instance, I've done a couple of ride-alongs with police, one in Quincy, Massachusetts, actually, where they've been carrying this overdose antidote called Narcan and saving a lot of lives.
Let's talk more about Narcan for a minute. That's a word most of us were unfamiliar with before this outbreak started so much public conversation. What is Narcan and how is it being used in Rhode Island?
So Narcan is actually the common name for a drug called naloxone, and it's an opioid antagonist. And it literally pries them off the brain's opioid receptors. And it works really quickly, like astonishingly quickly, seconds in most cases. Opioids depress your breathing, and so too big of a dose of opioids can cause you to eventually just stop breathing. So Quincy police actually carry nasal naloxone. It's like a nasal spray. They just squirt it up a person's nostrils. And they're usually breathing again, even sitting up, in seconds. Because seconds really count in an overdose, some people have been saying it's really important that more first responders start to carry Narcan too, even though paramedics have been using it for years. But the Rhode Island State Police actually just announced they'll be carrying it, and other Rhode Island police departments are considering it.
This question about whether more police should carry Narcan is a big part of your documentary. What did you find?
I found that in Quincy, Massachusetts, which, like a lot of New England towns, has a big opioid addiction and overdose problem, it works. I mean, police have been carrying it for about a year and a half there, and they tell me that in that time, They've reversed more than 200 overdoses with Narcan. But I also found that not everyone is convinced it's a good idea. You know, you'll hear from a researcher in my documentary this Sunday about her investigation of police attitudes about this. And some of them think, you know, maybe addicts shouldn't have this kind of, you know, get out of jail free card.
Now, Kristen, as you were putting your documentary together, you spoke with law enforcement, recovering addicts, researchers, doctors, and those who help people kick their addiction. What did you hear or learn that surprised you the most?
A couple of things, actually. One is who this is affecting. So, you know, when you think of drug overdoses, you might think, or at least you might have thought in the past, oh, junkie in an alley in some like blighted city somewhere, you know, this horrible image. And it is horrible, but that's usually not the case with opioid overdoses, at least increasingly. It's really two groups of people. So it's younger people who started using painkillers recreationally, maybe, and then, you know, sometimes get hooked on heroin, which is actually the same high as opioid, you know, prescription painkillers, but it's a lot cheaper. It's but the second group is middle-aged, suburban, small town, and increasingly women, I might add, who for one reason or another started using opioids medically, meaning with a prescription. So whether they had an injury or they were recovering from surgery, whatever the reason, and they stay on these, some of them, really high doses for a long time, and some of them get hooked. And there's another thing I learned that really struck me, and that is that there are some really smart, really compassionate people who are working hard in Rhode Island to try and turn the tide on this epidemic. It's an epidemic of opioid addiction. That's what they're telling me, which can lead to overdose. And, you know, although addiction has been with us for a long time, there are more opioids floating around than ever. And, you know, because doctors are prescribing them more, et cetera. And treatment advocates and policymakers and the medical and law enforcement community, a lot of folks in Rhode Island want to take advantage of the fact that this is really making headlines right now. And to, you know, because of that, they want to use this moment to try to get some funding, maybe get some changes in the law, push more opportunities for treatment and prevention.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio's healthcare reporter Kristen Gourlay's documentary Killer Drugs, Tackling Opioid Addiction and Overdose airs this Sunday at 6 p.m. and will be hosting a public discussion at the Providence Athenaeum that will also be aired on this station the following Sunday at 6 p.m. Kristen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.